So yesterday we discussed about Raghunuga Bhakti. There were some questions. Perhaps there are a few more questions.
The demons, they don't claim Goloka Vrindavan. How is this in relationship with Putana, who attains the same position as Mother Yashoda?
Because she got purified by Krishna, so she wasn't a demon. All of her impurities were taken out of her by Krishna. Krishna sucked out her breast milk, and at the same time, he purified her of all contamination. So she was no longer a demon. And because she did something favorable, namely that she tried to act as Krishna's mother, she was given that benediction. So because of having some motherly attitude, she was given that special benediction.
Yesterday, before the concert, you were talking about Raghunuga Bhakti, Vali Bhakti, and Raghatmika Bhakti. Could you discuss or mention something on the transition between, the transition from Raghunuga to Raghatmika and from Vali to Raghunuga to Raghatmika?
When the anarthas are cleansed out of the heart and one feels... Prabhupada even says in Nectar Devotion, when one enthusiastically goes out of eagerness to see the arti, that is a sign of Raghunuga Bhakti. So even there are some impurities, but still Prabhupada says that in Nectar Devotion. So Raghunuga means, as opposed to Vaidhi, Vaidhi is executed according to rules and regulations. But Raghunuga means out of one's own eager desire to serve Krishna. And the perfection of Raghunuga Bhakti means that love of God takes place. So when prema comes, when pure love of God comes within the heart, then a person is called a Raghatmika devotee. And until that stage, they're anuga, they're in the process of sadhana. But when prema takes place, it's not sadhana anymore. It's prayojana, the final goal. It's not abhideya, the means. The goal has been attained, Krishna prema. So that means that one joins the ranks of Krishna's eternal associates. So the devotion that one renders at that stage is called Raghatmika Bhakti.
The stage of mantra passion would be inviting?
No, not inviting bhakti. No. Mantra passion is not done inviting bhakti as much as it's... It may be done inviting bhakti, but it can be done in Raghunuga Bhakti. Better. Meditating upon the prayers of glorifying the Lord can be done in either process, in Vaidhi. Vaidhi means with strict adherence to rules and regulations. There's so many prayers which are glorifying Krishna, and a devotee who's in chanting a prayer which has a particular bhava or emotion, expressing a feeling of a particular resident of Vrindavan, meditating on that resonant, meditating on that mantra, that is mantra upasana. You're also chanting the mantra upasana prayer every morning, Venam Kanvanta Maravinda Dalaya Taksham. Every morning you're greeting the deities, but most people do it out of rule and regulation. They don't do it out of spontaneous enthusiasm. That's up to the individual. You can do it out of spontaneous enthusiasm, but most people don't. Most people don't render devotional service in that way. They render it as a requirement that they have to do, mechanically. That mechanical is not Raghunuga Bhakti. That's Vaidhi Bhakti. Because the feeling does not come in the heart. But when you learn to... When the feelings are actually being... When the prayers are being recited with feeling, out of attraction for Krishna, that is Raga. That natural attraction to Krishna is raga. So the same prayer, the chant is being done with this in meditation, may be done in either case, inviting bhakti or not.
And so the platform as far as if you do is very accurate.
Yeah.
Following the footsteps of Vrindavan, this is like the middle stage of Vajanila, like he becomes spontaneous and then he just would be like really attaining perfection?
No. In the beginning, there one may have a general enthusiasm for, just like I'll read to you what Prabhupada says about going to the Arati ceremony. I think I quoted it. Here. In the beginning, by the order of his spiritual master, one rises. Yeah, this is from Nectar Devotion. Prabhupada is speaking in Nectar Devotion. He says, one has to do it without argument. This is Vaidhi. Another part of sadhana bhakti is called Raganuga. Raganuga refers to the point at which, by following the regulative principles, one becomes a little more attached to Krishna and executes devotional service out of natural love. For example, a person engaged in devotional service may be ordered to rise early in the morning and offer arti, which is a form of deity worship. In the beginning, by the order of his spiritual master, one rises early in the morning and offers arti. But then he develops real attachment. When he gets this attachment, he automatically tries to decorate the deity and prepares different kinds of dresses and thinks of different plans to execute his devotional service nicely. Although it is within the category of practice, this offering of love, loving service, is spontaneous. So the practice of devotional service, sadhana bhakti, can be divided into two parts, namely regulative and spontaneous. So in the beginning, when one has that, when one progresses a little bit and feels spontaneously attracted to doing these things, that is raganuga. But the raganuga gradually has to be directed, because love is directed in a particular way. One doesn't just love someone else; you love someone according to the nature of the relationship. So therefore, there's two types of love: sambandhanuga and kamanuga, or sambandharupa and kamarupa. Kamarupa means lusty desire, like the gopis or the queens. And sambandhanuga means in relationship with Krishna, as friend or parental affection. So the love has to gradually be tuned in a specific way or relationship. And I don't want to use the word relationship because it implies just sambandharupa, but with a particular bhav, that's actually the word, with a certain type of emotion. And we have heard what those different dasyarati, sakyarati, vatsalyarati, or madhuyarati, or madhuya bhav.
This is only done in the bhav stage.
No.
It can be started before?
No.
No, not spontaneous, I'm saying to fix your mind on one of the inevitables of the mind.
The mind will order, when the mind comes, you have to see that the mind is coming by reading Krishna book, by reading Nectar Devotion, by reading Chaitanya Chaitamrita. But in our line, practically everybody is in one way. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all of his associates, everybody in this, practically almost all the disciplic succession, is in this, in the way of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following in the footsteps of the gopis. That is the conclusion of Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami is teaching that. He's in that way, and to follow him means to follow in that way, to strictly follow him.
So even at our stage, by following the Palanka, it's like following him. Even if you're not at the stage of Ardhanuga, it's like following Ardhanuga Bhakti?
It depends. The Raganuga Bhakti is in our stage if the feelings are spontaneous. For example, if you feel spontaneous enthusiasm in kirtan, that's an element of rag. You may not be doing everything in Raganuga Bhakti, but that element is certainly an aspect of rag. It's not simply out of vaidhi. In the beginning, we tell people, just chant and you will feel something. But after a while, people like to do kirtan out of natural enthusiasm. So that's rag. Now, it may be the beginning stage of rag, but that is rag. So that should be nourished. That element has to be nourished more and more. And gradually, through careful study, through hearing, one will get a taste in a particular way.
And how does this start and go back to the new Vaikuntha
planet?
Because then it's like a Vaikuntha.
It doesn't go to Vaikuntha, Raghunuga Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti goes to Vaikuntha. Raghunuga Bhakti does not go to Vaikuntha. Because Raghunuga Bhakti means to follow Ragatmika devotees, which means the devotees of Vrindavan. Raganuga means, it doesn't just mean, rag means a spontaneous feeling, no doubt. But that spontaneous feeling is immature when it is not reposed on a particular devotee who has that rag in his heart. In other words, in the beginning there may be an undifferentiated type of feeling of spontaneity. There's some spontaneous feeling, but it's not clearly defined. But as it matures, it will be clearly defined in a particular relationship with Krishna. According to, if it's Raganuga, it will be according to the devotees of Vrindavan. They are Ragatmika devotees.
Vaidhi just means practice.
Vaidhi doesn't mean practice. Sadhana means practice. Vaidhi means according to rules and regulations. It means regulative.
And this will be your Vaikuntha.
If you keep practicing in that way, without following the footsteps of the Vrindavan residents, without developing spontaneous attraction as they have, if you just keep serving with awe and reverence, which implies also fear, that leads to the place of Krishna's opulence, which is Vaikuntha. Awe and reverence is synonymous with opulence. And it also has a certain, it begins with fear. The residents of Vaikuntha don't fear, they don't have any fear. But the beginning of that worship is with fear. But Raganuga has nothing to do with fear. It's not based on simply vidhi or rules. It's based on the natural and spontaneous attraction the residents of Vrindavan feel for Krishna. Oh, Krishna is so beautiful. Krishna's flute, holding his flute is so nice, with eyes like blooming lotus petals. How nice his peacock's feather is. How loving he is towards his devotees. Seeing in this way, seeing how the devotees feel towards Krishna, the way the gopis feel towards Krishna, or the way Yasoda and Nandamaraj feel towards Krishna. That's why all those feelings are expressed there in Krishna book, in the Bhagavatam. So if you hear the particular loving feelings or sentiments that a devotee has, then gradually something will attract you in their particular nature of love towards Krishna. So thinking in that mood and meditating on serving Krishna in that mood, that is Raganuga Bhakti. And that only goes up to... Because in Vaikuntha, they don't have all these different moods. They just have one mood, dasya, servitude. They don't have the variety of moods that exist in Goloka Vrindavan. They have one mood. They're loyal. They serve just like Hanuman. Intense feeling, no doubt, but it's in the mood of servitude. And it's fun. It's not that he does not have spontaneous love. When one reaches the stage of prema, it certainly is spontaneous and natural. But it is not the type of natural that we see in the relationships in Vrindavan.
How do you call it spontaneous love?
It's spontaneous. It means it's not based on rules and regulations. Hanuman doesn't serve Ramachandra because there's a rule that he must serve. He loves him. He serves out of natural attraction to Ramachandra. But it's not of the nature of where awe and reverence is dropped aside. That type of natural is not there. As a mother loves a son, as a friend loves a friend, Hanuman does not love Ram in that way. He loves Ram as, this is my master and I am his servant. So that vidhi, rules, lead to that attitude. Because one who follows rules is in that mood. You, oh God, you are my master and I am your servant. Now I shall worship you. And in that way, that leads to Vaikuntha, that mood. That is based on rules. In the beginning, one should think, I am the servant and God is my master. Everyone must think that way in the beginning. That is how we begin. That is Vaidhi Bhakti. But gradually, as our service attitude becomes practiced, as we learn and we're trained in that service attitude, then we gradually appreciate the different natures of the way in which different devotees serve Krishna. And we see how natural the love of Yasoda is to Krishna, and how much more pleasing it is to Krishna. So naturally we would like to follow that way. So those are ragatmaka bhaktas. And following a particular devotee, just like it says in Nectar's instruction, to follow the Lord's eternal devotees. A resident of Vrindavan, it says. One should follow a resident of Vrindavan. So it means, just like yourself, if one is in Sakyabhava, then one may follow Sudam, Subal, Sridam, Sudama, or Nanda and Yasoda. Not that you think you are Nanda and Yasoda, but seeing how they serve Krishna, praying that you can assist in that mood. Or if it's the gopis, then thinking how the manjaris are serving Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari, how they're serving Lalita and Vishaka, who are serving Radharani. Not that you want to become Radharani or Lalita, but you want to be able to do the services that Rupa Goswami as Rupa Manjari does for Radharani. So thinking in that way and praying in that way. Otherwise, what are you doing when you're offering arti? When you offer arti, what are you thinking? What are you thinking when you offer arti? Then that is Vaidhi Bhakti. But actually, who is offering arti? The gopis are offering arti. Let us say, if you're offering the Radhisham Sundar, you're offering the Krishna Balaram, you have to consider who's offering the arti. And who we are simply assisting. So trying to learn the mood of what they must be thinking as they are offering, that is Raghunuga Bhakti. Not simply saying, okay, now seven circles, now this. That is rules and regulations. So someone who is simply thinking on that level and becomes very perfect and becomes very attached and goes on and perfects himself, that person will go to Vaikuntha. Depending. If they worship, generally they'll go to Vaikuntha. Or if they're attached to Radha and Krishna, but still they can't get beyond rules and regulations. There's a part of Vrindavan which is like Vaikuntha. Actually, there's a part. There's Vrindavan, there's Mathura, and there's Dwarka. But there's a section of Vrindavan that is described, which Krishna showed to Nanda Maharaj and the residents of Vrindavan after he saved Nanda Maharaj from the clutches of Varuna. He showed them the spiritual world. And there they saw Krishna being offered with great, in Vrindavan, being offered, you know, arti and so many ceremonies with great pomp and awe and reverence. So there's a place in Vrindavan which is like Vaikuntha, but it's Vrindavan, but it has a Vaikuntha mood. And Krishna is worshipped in great awe and reverence, Radha and Krishna, in a palace as if they're the king and queen, with great awe and reverence. And that is for those who have always worshipped Radha and Krishna, but not beyond Vaidhi. They could not develop the mood of Raghunuga, but they could only stick on the mood of Vaidhi. So there's that place there. Is it a little clear?
Where does one's Swarupa come into it? Is it already predetermined what one's relationship is with the Lord? Or
yeah.
Because of association, it might change also.
Prabhupada said that, you know, one's relationship could change, but it doesn't. In other words, he said that it does not, because we, each person feels they have an, we have our eternal relationship with Krishna. It is there in seed already within us. So by the process of sadhana bhakti, it gradually manifests itself. It is not that, you see, the Babaji's, different Babaji classes of Raja, they teach this, that the Guru gives you your rasa. Or some of them teach that the Ladini Shakti, when it descends, it means the rasa comes to you in a particular way. But actually, in our line, we don't teach that. In our line, we say clearly that the relationship is eternal with Krishna, and now it is covered over. So as we perform sadhana and get free of anarthas, that relationship which is already there comes out. The example is given just like, it is the example given that on a certain night, there's a night, there's a star called Svati. Svati Nakshatra is a certain star. And if it rains, when that star is shining brightly, according to where the water falls, different jewels are formed. When the water falls into the sea, it forms pearls. When it falls on a deer, it creates musk. When it falls on the head of a serpent, it creates a jewel. Different. So the thing is, the water is the same, but according to the object the water falls on, it produces that jewel, that particular jewel. So each person has a particular type of love for Krishna. And the process of sadhana, when it goes on, chanting, etc., is like the rain, it falls. And then according to what the nature of that individual is, it will come out.
I've seen one list, this is one publication which we had, and it shows that all the previous charities, they were all man charities, or they were all maid servants, gopis. So, does that mean to say that anyone in this line would be in that mood? Or
practically everybody. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came especially to give this type of love. He came especially to manifest this love. And it is not by chance. You can say, but that's extraordinary. It may be extraordinary, but that is the arrangement of Krishna who comes here and joins in this line. Because other lines don't always lead. The other Vaishnava lines don't all lead to this mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You can see when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India, he met so many other types of Vaishnava Sampradayas, but they don't go to Vrindavan, go low to Vrindavan. Their mood of awe and reverence, just like you see so many things in different Sampradayas, they were too very attached to their ritual. So not all Vaishnava lines go to lead, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does, and Krishna makes that arrangement who goes and joins.
So then how does
the Sarup
fit?
Yeah, Sarup means that Sarup Siddhi means the liberated form of the soul, which manifests. Gradually it manifests, internally it manifests. As we practice Krishna consciousness, gradually it is revealed by grace of Guru and Krishna. What is our eternal identity in relationship to Krishna? Not that it's, you cannot prematurely get it. Sometimes people want to prematurely know what is their sroop, and they ask some guru, you know, and he tells them you're this or that. But this is not in our line, that we don't do like this. We practice sadhana bhakti, first as vaidhi bhakti, then gradually as raghunuga bhakti, and then gradually by the grace of guru and by the grace of Krishna, these things are all revealed. What is our actual identity? But all of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the line coming down, they all have these relationships. They're all, generally, they're all in Madhurya Ras. Because in Chaitanya Chaitamrita, that relationship is glorified above all. Again and again, it is the sole subject practically. The whole Chaitanya Chaitamrita is glorifying that particular relationship. So naturally one will want that relationship. But the Manjaris, they don't desire to directly serve Krishna. I explained this in my class the other morning. That they see that Srimati Radharani is the topmost lover of Krishna, and she can give the highest pleasure to Krishna. So they simply try to arrange for her to be with Krishna, and for Krishna to be with her. And whatever, because they're so closely identified with her happiness, whatever she experienced, they experience also. The example is given as iron into fire. Fire is burning and you put iron into it. The iron goes into the fire. It started as an iron, but actually after a while, it also feels like fire. So the Manjaris, they're so much identified with Srimati Radharani that practically whatever she experiences, they experience, but indirectly. And this is the line of Rupa Goswami, his teaching. Not to directly try to associate with Krishna, but simply to serve the servant of Krishna. And the best of all servants is Srimati Radharani. Therefore Prabhupada says in Vrindavan, everyone says, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. And Krishna is most pleased because he sees how much Radharani is pleasing him. And if you are pleasing Srimati Radharani by assisting her and assisting her servants, then Krishna bestows his causeless mercy upon you. Clear?
Yeah, I still don't quite understand that if everybody's developing or learning to develop that mood.
We are learning by reading Prabhupada's books.
So, if the Svarupa is of another nature, say...
It may be. That's possible. But generally, I said that in this line, generally it is like this. You're saying if, but I'm saying generally, one who comes in this line is of this nature.
Is that why they're attractive?
Yes, Krishna makes that arrangement. Krishna says, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Rideshu Ajunatishtate. He says, I'm sitting in everyone's heart, and I direct the wanderings of all living entities. So he knows very well what is the nature of an individual's love for Krishna. So he directs where they will go, where they will join. These things are under Krishna's control.
So what happens to all the living entities in the material world who have a fraternal relationship, or do they encourage, do they... The living entities that are in the material world that have a different...
Then Krishna makes that arrangement. But they can also come in this line. They may also come in this line. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give all the rasas. The point is that when you teach Madhurya, then automatically all the others will be nourished also. So if someone has a relationship like Nanda Maharaj's or Yasoda Devi's, that'll be nourished. It'll also be nourished here. Our Krishna book is full of all the pastimes. Nectar devotion is full of the examples of all of them. It's not that one must be in this relationship, but generally it is like that. As he said, in the disciplic succession we see. But that book is not correct. There are mistakes in that diagram in the back. Anyway, if we're talking about the same book, there are mistakes.
Yeah, you were just mentioning a point to Srinathapuri about Hanuman when he attains prema in his ras. So I was just wondering if that tied in yesterday with you were mentioning that when one attains prema through Vaidhi or one attains prema through Raganuga, the prema through Raganuga is actually stronger. So is that what you mean? It's like the different levels of rasa?
Yeah, like that. And the different level is rasa is stronger.
Yeah.
The love that the gopis feel is the strongest love of all, because it's free of all obstructions which are there. Yeah, that's what I mean by stronger. And therefore, Uddhava prays that I want to get this type, I want to get the intensity of love that the gopis have. He doesn't say I want to become a gopi. When he says I want to become a particle of dust or a blade of grass, not because he wants to become a gopi. He wants to keep his relationship, which is a mixture of servitude and friendship with Krishna in Dwarka. He wants to keep that, but he wants to raise it to the level, the strength that the gopis' love has. And that Madhurya especially brings such a strong feeling, the strongest of all feelings. And therefore it's described in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, there are different levels of prema. Prema is just the beginning stage of perfection. Then in prema, there are so many differing degrees. We will read about this in text 60, when we take up text 60. Text 60. Then you'll see the different stages of prema. And each one of the rasas goes up to a particular stage. And only Madhurya goes up to Mahabhava. And not all types of Madhurya. Only the gopis' Madhurya Bhava goes up to that. So it's true, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita. When are we going to take up today's subject? Right now. Let us begin. I was ahead, but now we have... Okay, text 56. Shreya kanta kanta parama purusha kalpataravo Rumi bhumis chintamani ganamahi toyamam ritam Kada ganam natyam gamanam apivam shipriya saki Chinanandam jyoti paramapichat asvajyam apicha Sayatta shirabdi saravati sarabhiyas tasumahan Sime Shardakyo Chakti Nahiyatrahi Samayaha Vajay Sveta Vipam Tamaham Mihakolokam Itiyam Vidantaste Santa Shiti Virala Charakati Paye. I worship that transcendental seat known as Sweta Dweep, where as loving consorts, the Lakshmis in their unalloyed spiritual essence practice the amorous service of the Supreme Lord Krishna as their only lover. Where every tree is a transcendental purpose tree, where the soil is the purpose gem, all water is nectar, every word is a song, every gate is a dance, the flute is the favorite attendant, effulgence is full of transcendental bliss, and the supreme spiritual entities are all enjoyable and tasty, where numberless milk cows always emit transcendental oceans of milk, where there is the eternal existence of transcendental time, who is ever present and without past or future, and hence is not subject to the quality of passing away even for the space of a half a moment. That realm is known as Goloka only to a very few self-realized souls in this world. We have already described so many of the points which are in this verse, but a few more we can add to. The word jyoti or effulgence indicates that in the spiritual Goloka, the sun and the moon are eternally there. And when the moon comes up at night, it is always a full moon in Goloka. It does not wax or wane. So far time is concerned, although there is no past, present, or future, it does not mean that there is no sequence of events. There are sequence of events, and there is certainly a sense of sequences. Otherwise, there would be no way for Krishna to have his pastimes, because the pastimes are dependent upon a sense of something having happened and something that is going to happen. But as we understand past, present, and future, with that feeling that time is always taking everything away, death I am, you know, kalas me, this sense of time is absent. But there is a sense of sequences in terms of the pastimes of Krishna. So far, the sense of seasons is concerned. Time also means six seasons. In Vedic timing, we count six seasons. So in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna can enjoy any season at any time. It also mentions that the residents there have very pleasing and auspicious speech. And there's a very nice example given to show you how, you don't have to write each word down, but to just show you how the residents of Vrindavan always speak in pleasing ways. For example, when they say Matsara, they do not mean envy, but they mean my lake. And that lake is Radhakund. When they say Kala, they do not mean demon, but a woman's sash. When they say Mala, they do not mean defect, but gentle and delicate. In other words, every word that has a particular connotation in the material sense, which is usually not a very pleasing meaning, In Vrajadam, Golokadam, all of these words have ways of inspiring thoughts of Krishna. Just like if you took nectar devotion, you know the word Udipan, and we also discussed that briefly. The stimulants for ecstatic love. So whenever they hear any one of these words, every possible word practically stimulates them to think of Krishna according to their relationship with Him. So this abode of Krishna is full of variety. And we should at least be convinced of that. Anyone who would suggest that, you know, truth and the eternal world is just oneness, they just should read Brahma Samhita. Because it's so clear from the descriptions in Brahma Samhita that there's unlimited variegatedness. But unless one is blessed, with the spiritual energy of the Lord, Ladini Shakti, then one cannot intellectually grasp all of these things. And therefore, those who are simply jnanis, they think only in terms of oneness. They can't get beyond the undifferentiated Brahman. They can't imagine, because it goes beyond the power of intellect. It requires devotion. And devotion is inspired by service. In the beginning, according to vidhi, rules. And then when the rules are followed nicely, the service matures and there's some spontaneous understanding. Now, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati has stated that in this verse, the words Paramapi indicate Sri Krishna. And Param, if you see in this verse, the last phrase here, in the first sloka, not a sloka, but in the first verse, the last line, Paramapi tat asvadyamapi cha. You see that? So, in a simple meaning, is that the supreme spiritual entities are all enjoyable and tasty. In other words, everything in Goloka is of the same spiritual nature as the Lord, and is therefore suitable for being relished by the Lord. Everything is absolute there. But the word Paramapi indicates particularly Sri Krishna as the only truth. And the words tat asvadyam api mean his object of enjoyment. So even the Supreme can become the object of enjoyment. So this meaning, that the Supreme becomes the object of enjoyment, we have discussed. Vishaya and Ashraya. Vishaya means the object of enjoyment. And Ashraya means the shelter of that love, right? Vishaya means the object of love, Ashraya means the shelter of love. So Krishna occupies the position as the enjoyer or shelter of love, as well as the object of love. And that's what's indicated here by these words. Because of the Acharyas, because of Jiva Goswami, because of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because they could understand really the meaning of this verse, that it just doesn't say that Krishna can be, you know, Krishna is able to enjoy and everything is absolute because everything is of the same absolute nature. What it also means is that as Krishna is the object of enjoyment or object of love, he is also the shelter of that love. And therefore they say that this verse indirectly indicates Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is simultaneously Vishaya and Ashraya. And actually he's in the mood of Ashraya. Inside he's Vishaya and outside he's Ashraya. Means he's Krishna, but he's in the mood of Radha. Radharani is Ashraya. She is the shelter of love for Krishna. And Krishna is the Vishaya. He's the object of her love. So when he tries to understand what Radharani's love is, then he becomes actually like the Ashraya. And that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And therefore, they have given the three, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has given the three principal reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. To understand the glory of Radha's love, the wonderful qualities in him that she alone relishes through her love, and the bliss she feels when she realizes the sweetness of his love. These are very famous three causes for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. And feeling in this way, he attains the personality of Lord Chaitanya. If one worships Lord Chaitanya properly, then he will gradually see Radha and Krishna. That is the vision of Ramananda Roy. And it is stated that by the proper worship of Lord Chaitanya, gradually one will see Lord Chaitanya's Radha and Krishna. Therefore, this is the line. And therefore, Prabhupada put in Radha Krishna everywhere in the world. And Prabhupada worshipped Radha and Krishna from the time he was young, because this is the line. And we are all Prabhupada Anugas. This is the line. We're Rupa Anugas. So even if you say, but I can't speculate on my rasas, you don't speculate or not, this is the line. That's not speculation, that you took your birth in this sampradaya, in this line from Prabhupada. So whether you don't have to speculate, that in itself is a great indication. That is a great indication. There can be no bigger indication. Every acharya practically is in this mood. So there's some reason why people are coming in this line. Any questions on this verse? Yes.
Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Dantanatasa, at least through your Prasas and Kumapamaka. His abode is not illuminated by sun and moon.
Yeah, it's eternal. It's eternal sun and moon. In other words, it's not a material planet. It's there to enthuse. Because Radharani, for example, worships the sun god, Surya. So many pastimes are performed by Radharani, where she worships the sun god. And while worshiping the sun god, I told one of those pastimes. So without a sun, how can she worship the sun god?
So that's sun
and without the moon, if there's no moon, then how can they meet and have so many blissful activities in the evening time, lit up by the moon?
So that sun and moon, they're just special bed devotees also?
Yeah, they're not. They're all what devotees or manifested by Sandini potency, but Baladev Shakti. But they're part of the spiritual world for the pleasure of Radha Krishna. Another question? Good. Let's go on to the next verse. Text 57. Ato vacha mahavishnur bhagavantam prajapatim raman mahatva vijnane prajasarge chachinmati pancha slokim imam vidyam gavasatatam dibodhame. On hearing these hymns, that means we just completed the hymns. On hearing these hymns containing the essence of the truth, the Supreme Lord Krishna said to Brahma, Brahma, if you experience the inclination to create offspring by being endowed with the real knowledge of the glory of Godhead, listen, my beloved, from me to this science set forth in the following five slokas. So the next five slokas after this are, in a nutshell, the complete science that Brahma is to follow. They're going to be very important, and they're told by the Supreme Lord Krishna to Brahma. So we can see that Brahma has satisfied Govinda. How has he done it? It says clearly in the purport, by chanting the names Krishna and Govinda. He constantly chanted in these hymns, Govinda Mahadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So by the power of his chanting constantly, Krishna's name, Govinda's name. And what kind of chanting did he do? He chanted with great eagerness, it says. In other words, not mechanically, but with actual feeling, with some rag. Because remember, we were reading how he was chanting Gayatri Mantra. And by chanting intensely this Gayatri and meditating, right? By meditating first in Mantra Pashana meditation, gradually he got the whole revelation of Krishna and Goloka. And he could understand that he is eternally the maidservant of Krishna. So he's chanting with this great eagerness, with rag. And this made Govinda or Krishna very pleased upon him. Now, it mentions that Lord Brahma had taken his birth. Mentions means in the Bhagavatam that Brahma is empowered specifically with the motive passion to create the universe. So from the very time of his birth, remember, we explained how Brahma was trained even from before birth. He was given the blueprint of creation. Therefore, he has a very strong desire to fulfill the need of creation for all the living entities as a service to the Lord. But he has this mentality that he wants to do this service. And because he did it as a service to the Lord, he's very dear to the Lord. And this can be seen by the use of the word vatsa. Here the word vatsa, you see what it means in the last line? O beloved, means Krishna. And there are many verses to show that Krishna is pleased with Brahma. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, I am very much pleased with your long accumulated tapasya, with the desire for creation. Hardly I am pleased with pseudo-mystics, but I am pleased by you. This is 2.9.20. And what was Brahma's desire? His desire was that he not be bewildered. In the process of creation, he doesn't want to be bewildered. So first of all, he gets a number of benedictions, which we can see in the Bhagavatam. For one is described in the third canto, 9th chapter, text 34, where Krishna says, since you have desired to increase the population innumerably and expand your varieties of service, this is a devotee, and expand your varieties of service, since you have desired that, you shall never be deprived in this matter, because by my causeless mercy upon you, you will always, because my causeless mercy upon you will always increase for all time. Surely this is a great benediction. Prabhupada says in the purport, you can hear this, you don't have to write. A pure devotee of the Lord, being cognizant of the facts of the particular time, object, and circumstances, always desires to expand the number of devotees of the Lord in various ways. Now, Brahma doesn't just want to expand the number of living entities. He's a sampradayacharya. He liberates them also by his teachings. Right? From him come the Vedas. He's not just proliferating so many living entities. He's educating them and liberating them also. Such expansions of transcendental service may appear to be material to the materialist, but factually they are all expansions of the causeless mercy of the Lord towards the devotee. Plans for such activities may appear to be material activities, but they are different in potency, being engaged in the satisfaction of the transcendental service senses of the Lord. Lord Brahma recognized the dangers of worldly pursuits, and he therefore inquires how he may be able to fulfill his worldly responsibilities. In the Bhagavatam, he asks the following question. You just catch up the idea. You don't have to write word for word. He says in the Bhagavatam, please tell me so that I may be taught in the matter by the instruction of the personality of Godhead and may thus act instrumentally to generate living entities without being conditioned by such activities. Lord Brahma refused to speculate on the best way. He asked. He didn't speculate. He said, what is the best way to do this? And then he was given the following assurance by the Lord. You are the original Rishi. And because your mind is always fixed on me, even though you will be engaged in generating various progeny, the vicious mode of passion will never encroach upon you. And in the purport, Prabhupada explains that even when it sometimes appears that Brahma becomes bewildered, such bewilderment is the action of the internal potency and is meant for his further advancement in transcendental service, just as Arjuna is similarly bewildered. Finally, Krishna says to Brahma, I wish you good luck, O Brahma. You may ask from me, the giver of all benediction, all that you may desire. But you may know that the ultimate benediction, as a result of all penances, is to see me by realization. Questions?
Can we say that based on the desire of Lord Brahma to save the fallen souls, Lord Chaitanya manifested in the Sampradaya?
No, you cannot say that. Because you can save the fallen souls without giving them their place in Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, as a maidservant of Radharani. So you can't say what you just said. Because Brahma, just to liberate, Brahma came, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya came for much more than liberation. Liberation can be done by Lord Narayan. Vishnu can liberate. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't just give liberation. He gave Krishna Prema. Therefore, Rupa Goswami said, Namo Mahabharanyaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gurtsu. So many avatars came to liberate, but you have come for a different reason. You didn't come to give liberation. You came to give the love for Krishna that Srimati Radharani has.
I thought it was three last references.
Three references? Should get... three last references are... Brahma... Anyway, I can tell you. 3934, 2929, 3935, like that. There's, you know, Brahma's appearance and Tapaka is mentioned twice, I think even three times.
If you understand correctly, that's the Brahma that Krishna spoke these verses to, that you just, it's a different Brahma than this Brahma?
So what?
So that doesn't matter?
Why does it matter?
Well, because Krishna gives his benedictions to the Brahma who spoke to Brahma.
No, Krishna gives the benedictions not to the Brahma who spoke to Srimad Bhagavatam, to the Brahma who does creation. And since all Brahmas do creation, Krishna gives this benediction to all Brahmas. He doesn't say, because you are speaking, because you are mentioning the Bhagavatam, I am giving you benediction. He says, I'm giving you benediction because you're doing this service of creation. So it's to be understood that whoever is a Brahma and does this creation service, Krishna gives them benediction. I explained that previously, that they all do penance. One may do penance in one way, another may do penance in another way, but the principles were the same. They're born, they're bewildered, they do austerity or penance, then they get instructed by the Lord and blessed by the Lord, then they create under the Lord's guidance. The same thing is there for all the different Brahmas. Some details are different. In the Bhagavatam, one Brahma that's mentioned is in the relationship of Sakya, friendship. And this Brahma from Brahma Samhita is in the relationship of Madhurya. The basic benedictions are the same. Other questions? Any more questions on the first topic? Somebody had your hand up from the beginning that I didn't call. You remember?
Yes, that. So I don't see to me that we ever had a relationship with Krishna or.
Shroop City has nothing to do with whether we ever had a relationship with Krishna or whether we didn't ever have a relationship. Shroop City means the perfect form. City means perfection and Shroop means form. Your own form. So that is the spiritual form of the soul. That is Shroop City. That doesn't say anything about whether you had your relationship or not. That's another subject. We didn't discuss that subject. Is it clear? Who else had their hand on this?
When a devotee goes to Vaikuntha, from there are chances for him to go to Goloka?
Not very much. Okay. You heard what happened in Vaikuntha to Gop Kumar. Gop Kumar was saying, oh Krishna, Govinda, Gopal, Krishna, Gopal, and all the Vaikuntha Vasis were saying, don't say Krishna or Gopal. Don't you know that this is Vaikuntha now? Don't take so seriously those pastimes he has as a coward boy. So they are very much impressed by one reverence. They are very much impressed by the opulence of Vaikuntha. It blinds them to the sweetness of Vrindavan. Even in Dwarka, rarely they can understand. In Mathura, they get a little information. You know, a little information comes back occasionally from Vrindavan. Uddhava goes to Vrindavan, and Uddhava comes also to Dwarka. But, you know, he doesn't say so much to everybody. But they know. They have some idea, but they cannot get it. They cannot go into Vrindavan. Even the queens of Krishna have some idea, because Krishna is obsessed with thinking about Radharani and the gopis, not with his queens. So, even they see sometimes that Krishna's mind is not in Dwarka. He himself at night, he's saying the names of the gopis. There's one verse that's described in Arjuna Leelamani. Rukmini says, while Krishna is embracing me in his arms, sometimes the names of Radharani come out from his mouth. So she can understand that He cannot stop thinking about Vrindavan. He's always in the mood of separation. And that Krishna in the mood is like that as Jagannath. That is Lord Jagannath. Dwarka Krishna thinking about Vrindavan is Jagannath. And therefore he always wants to take opportunity to go out of that temple and go to Gundicha, which for him is Vrindavan. He wants to give up the of Lakshmi in Dwarka, Rukmini or whoever it may be, and go to Vrindavan to be with Radharani and the Gopis. So we are very fortunate that we are worshipping Radhisham, Krishna Balaram, Gornitai, and Jagannath. Prabhupada has clearly directed us how to go. Only in Los Angeles, there in Dwarka. They're worshipping Rukmini Dwarkadish. They're worshipping Rukmini Dwarkadish also. It's described. Anyway, Rukmini Dwarkadish, Radha Krishna, according to the Bhav. Because anyway, we don't say so much. But according to the nature, if a person is in worshipping, it doesn't matter. Prabhupada gave those names, so I made a joke only. But anyone in Los Angeles also who follows in the mood. Therefore, I'm saying anybody in Los Angeles who follows in the proper mood, they will go to Radha Krishna, the original Rukmini Dwarkadish. The original of all Krishnas is Krishna Shyamasundara, and the original of Rukmini Devi, ultimate original, is Srimati Radharani. Although there's someone in between. Because it's explained that the mood of Radharani in Dwarka is seen in Satyabhama, and the mood of Chandravali in Dwarka is seen in Rukmini. Because Rukmini is very submissive, and Chandravali is very submissive, and Radharani is never submissive, and Satyabhama is never submissive. So the Dwarkavasis can think on this point. In so many ways they have to think about this. We are not very keen to be in the party of Chandravali. There's that story that Raghunath, was it Raghunath Das, was offered some, you know this? What is that pastime where he was offered something in a cup or something, and he asked, where is this coming from? And then they said, it's coming from such and such town, this prasad. Immediately threw it, and he cursed that person. Why have you given me this? Because that town was the birthplace of Chandravali. He said, why have you given me this? And he was very angry. So Raghunath Das Goswami is made eternally with Radharani in her party. So the Radharani and her followers are always in heavy competition with Chandravali and her followers. But there is no real competition. Chandravali, all of them exist only to increase the pleasure of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Nobody can attract Krishna's mind actually like Radharani. And Krishna says that he's the property of Radharani. Radharani is the queen of Vrindavan. Vrindavaneshwari. So, we'll stop here. Hey. Tomorrow's homework assignment. Text. We didn't cover text 58, so you have to do 58, 59, and 60.